Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're happy that you're taking time out to listen to our show. Hopefully you will enjoy the discussion that we have. Hopefully we can give you some new information. And I'm also going to suggest that maybe we can lead you to some sites that you need to go to get some real information. Again, my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Alan Hare.
Glenn Fink.
Well, thank you, everyone. We're going to go right over to Alan. You wanted to start. You
have thanks, Bob. I have heard this morning on a radio program they had a couple of legislators. They were interviewing and they were discussing the agenda and topics that the General Assembly has on its slate for this coming session. The session they just started. It's called a short session because they normally just deal with budget items, but apparently there are a couple of items, including medical marijuana, that are going to be brought back. Apparently last session in 2023, it was brought up, but it was not passed. But now apparently it's going to be brought up again. And my understanding is there's a particular legislator, I think from Wilmington, who was really pushing it, primarily because he had apparently had cancer. Maybe he's over it now. Hope he is. But that he found that marijuana was the best thing to alleviate some of the side effects of his chemotherapy treatment, I believe. And I've heard that also from other people, but I think the whole thing, maybe we could discuss it a little bit, pros and cons of it, because, it's something that we have tried to discourage over the years, and now starts out medical marijuana, and a lot of states wind up, the next step is recreational marijuana, and then it's just free use whenever you want to take it.
So. You know, it's interesting when you look at that, and you hear people that that have surgery or whatever else, and here's some OxyContin pills to help you for a couple of days, and now the advice is to get off of them as quickly as possible. But how do you get off of them if you really enjoy them?
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. And interestingly enough, is that they're making it much more difficult now for older people or people that have actually been through surgery to get that medication for pain. And it used to be easier. Now it's harder. So, like you say, they're being more restrictive.
You know, I saw an article on the cartels, not an article, a TV show. It was a series on the cartel influence on the drug trade throughout the country. And one of them was on Salt Lake City. Now, Utah's full of Mormons, and you think, Mormons have a drug problem? And I was living in Utah at the time, so I was very interested in it. And speaking of OxyContin, it said that the drug trade in amongst the Mormons in Salt Lake started with pills. Everybody took those pills, OxyContin, whatever, until they closed off that avenue, so everybody turned to heroin.
Well, one of the things, having worked in the North Carolina Department of Correction for 30 years, I saw a lot of cases where someone starts off with marijuana and then they go on to other drugs, considered a gateway drug, and that's pretty well documented. The issue about using it for medical purposes is what's problematic about it is that the research really doesn't clarify what exactly the substance is that's in the marijuana that's producing the beneficial effect. Because apparently there are a large number of specific chemicals, and they're not really sure what it is that's creating the benefit. And the other issue, of course, is are there other legal prescriptions or drugs that are legally obtainable that could have a similar positive effect without having to resort to something that is not nearly as controlled and has a lot of other risks.
Alan, I think one of the interesting aspects of this is, I think we talked about last week, the fact that John Bell, who is at this point the head, the chairman of the Rules Committee in the House, recently became president of Astera Labs, which is a CBD THC hemp manufacturer. So we're really pushing for this in a couple of different directions.
Yeah, and like you said, it appears as if somebody's anticipating this being approved, mm-hmm. and going to position themselves where they can benefit from it, kind of like Governor Cooper did with the solar panel farms, mm-hmm. where he went out and bought this large acreage, and now he and his brother, I think, are in business with solar panels. But, the thing about the marijuana also is really nobody knows the long-term effects of it because, like I said, the research has been quite limited. And because it's a Schedule I drug, it's difficult to conduct research with it. And the impact on children, and we know on younger people. So it's really problematic. And the other thing that's really scary is that there's been increasing evidence that the Chinese are beginning to develop farms in this country that grow marijuana. And they're using a lot of these Chinese that are coming over the border as laborers. Mm-hmm. They give them information. You can go here, we'll give you a job, and so on and so forth. It's happening all over the country. Maine has a number of them, New Mexico, a lot of the states. And what could possibly go wrong? Here we have China with fentanyl, producing fentanyl and bringing the chemicals together that used to make it. And now we have them growing marijuana. So, and fentanyl is frequently put in marijuana to increase its potency, to make it more euphoric. You know, it's not for medical reasons, but it's kind of scary what the China is doing. And you know, fentanyl, now marijuana, can't work out good for our country.
It's a national security threat.
Well, I have a question too. Let's say that marijuana becomes medical marijuana becomes legal. You going to sell it at the pharmacies in Harris Teeter? Where are you going to sell it? Where are you going to provide the protection for the people who are purchasing it so that they safely get it home? How much, what kind of a cost are you asking for? And are you going to protect the drugstores that are carrying it so they're not broken into, which is what we had with OxyContin?
And by the way, what format would you dispense this in? Are you going to start selling cigarettes again? We're not allowed to have cigarettes in this. I would also want to add, folks, this is not the marijuana that your grandmother used.
My grandmother never used marijuana.
But then, no, but this is something that is much more potent than anything that we knew of when we were growing up, and it's becoming the potency, I think, is becoming an additional serious problem.
And is this going to be sold in the vape shops by prescription?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, here's the thing, too. You had mentioned, Bob, about the form that you could take the drug in. And one of the things that is of concern is children. I'm talking about real young children that are getting access to it. Because what do they put it in? Gummy bears, they put it in cookies. You could put marijuana in a lot
brownies.
Of brownies. I mean, traditionally, these are the things. So it would be very readily accessible to young children if somebody had it in their home. If they weren't smoking, better if they were smoking, because it's, you know, for your lungs and all that stuff, it's, I'm sure it's damaging to your lungs. So
if little kids will get into Tide Pods and eat them, what's to stop them from getting into your marijuana brownies?
I don't have to research this any further after listening to our Sheriff Hughes and where he believes wholeheartedly this will take what happens in Craven County down a bad road.
Yes.
I don't have to research any. I'm against it. Well, and we should work hard to keep it from getting passed.
Well, this is the path to legalizing recreational marijuana, which does nobody any good in terms of traffic accidents, in terms of a coherent workforce, a dedicated workforce that shows up at work every day sober and straight and whatever and does the job. I mean, the potential of this is awful.
There was a North Carolina legislator at one of our meetings at the GCCA who said, and this is what I think he said, that his daughter had cancer and smoking marijuana helped her with the nausea, and nobody was going to tell his daughter what she could and couldn't smoke, which I thought was pretty arrogant.
Well,
it's also justifying something based on anecdotal information. Hopefully, we're beyond people just looking at one or two cases as a justification for making a society-wide change. Normally, you would want to have scientific experimentation, research that verifies what you're doing. Not, because I've heard that same story from the same individual you're talking about, Pat, and I'm sure he's firmly convinced that that helped his daughter, and maybe it did. I don't know. But that's no reason to take your population. Right now, they report that because of this widespread use of marijuana in the country, up to 20% of U.S. population, adult population, reports smoking marijuana on a regular basis or a sporadic basis, at smoking it. And what society, like you're saying, Mary, can benefit from having people that have another reason to get high and lose their it does impact you psychologically. Reduces
yes.
your motivation, reduces, I don't know about your energy level or whatever, but it can't be good.
There was an article a number of years ago in the New Yorker magazine, which was part of the New York Times, written by someone who described himself as a former marijuana addict. And he was a regular smoker of marijuana. His wife worked in one of the psychiatric hospitals in upstate New York, and he talked about the fact that she routinely dealt with people who smoked marijuana that were there for some sort of psychosis. Now, whether they smoked marijuana to help them with their medical stuff, they thought, or whether they, either way, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And he got himself off of marijuana and wrote an article about his experience. And I think those are the people we need to listen to.
Yeah. Another quick thing to add is we don't see the pharmaceutical industry trying to come up with an alternative to this because they probably wouldn't be able to make a great profit out of an alternative to this.
Not as long as there's a black market.
That's right. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll be right back. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Alan, you've got another topic.
Yeah, just something that came up the other day. I mean, there's so many things happening. It's really hard to keep up with them, as everybody who listens knows. But it has to do with Biden's proposed tax plan. And obviously, I don't think there's ever been a liberal or a leftist that didn't find a new tax enticing or something that they didn't want to implement. But anyway, it had to do with increasing the taxes not only on the corporations, that they were going to increase that, and I think there's going to be a death tax. Is that right,
Pat? Death tax is tripling.
It's going to triple. And then the issue had to do, that I was concerned about, was interesting, was this unrealized capital gains, they call it. And that sounds, well, you know, the average person would say, well, I don't have any of those unrealized capital gains. I don't even know what it is. But in reality, what it is pretty scary. For example, from what the report was, anything that you own that goes up in values, now that could be stocks, you could buy some stocks and it goes up in value, and let's say you buy a stock for $60 and it goes up to $80. Used to be, or the law currently exists, that you did not have to pay taxes on the gain to that value of that item until you sold it, okay? But the Biden plan is that you will have to start paying yearly on that increase in the value of that item, even though you haven't sold it. And this could actually apply to your home. So if you buy a home for, you know, $200,000, and in 5 years it's gone up to $300,000, instead of having to wait till you sold it to have to pay the tax, you'd have to start paying right along. Every year that it went up, so you'd have to come up with that cash. So it's not like you wait to the end, at least you then profit from it and you have money to pay taxes with. But the process that he set up appears to be, you're going to have to come up with that money all along.
And you know, additionally to what you're saying, right now, I believe your primary residence capital gain is exempt over a certain number of years. You don't have to worry about that over a number of years. Right. So all of a sudden, you'd have to figure out what the capital gain is. I mean, I bought this house, and now I painted it. So is it worth more because I painted it? So I have to pay tax on having painted it. Besides sales tax, I'm buying the paint. And
how many senior citizens would that put out of their homes?
Yeah, because they'd have to come up with the money all along. It's not like their estate might have to pay it if they, you know, deceased or whatever.
There's another aspect to this. Biden wants the Trump tax cuts to expire. And I just went to an article that was written for The Hill talking about these tax cuts and the fact that they benefited the middle class more than they benefited anyone else. And these are some examples. Filers with an adjusted gross income of $15,000 to $50,000 enjoyed an average tax cut of 18% to 26%. And then filers who earned $50,000 to $100,000 received a tax break of about 15% to 17% as a result of the Trump tax cuts. Now, no income group with an adjusted gross income of $500,000 received a tax cut exceeding 9%, which means that the majority of those tax cuts went to the middle class. If you take those tax cuts away with the inflation that we're dealing with now, you are destroying the middle class.
And I cringe when I hear corporate tax increases, because corporations do not pay taxes. That's a cost of goods sold that gets passed on to consumers, and that goes to everybody. And again,
Inflation. It's more inflation.
Well, it's inflation, but it hurts everybody equally on everything that's sold.
You know, when you talk about unrealized capital gains, now, what day of the year will we value the unrealized capital gains? I mean, the unrealized capital gain on a summer resort in December is not really not worth an awful lot. But coming the spring, coming the recreation season or whatever else, that value is worth a lot more.
Then they'll turn around like they're doing to Trump. They'll say instead of accusing like they did him of overvaluing, they'll come back and say, "Well, you undervalued your you undervalued your house in order to avoid paying." So it'll be after you that way. But
yeah.
What's scary about this is it's kind of like they did when they first started the income tax. I think it was in 1913. They sold it to people with the notion that this will only apply to the rich people. Only the top 1% or 2% of the people in the country will ever pay income taxes. And that's what they're saying about this. It's like Biden's, he comes out and says, you don't have to worry about these tax increases if you make over $400,000. Then they hire all these IRS agents and they track in everybody to go after, like you said, Mary, the middle class in this country is being destroyed.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the manufacturing jobs have been diminished. Like you see this employment figures, it's mostly service jobs. It's not the higher paying manufacturer. I read the other day it was like since 2005, there's been 65,000 manufacturing plants closed in this country. And that's where people actually made better wages in a lot of manufacturing.
More stable earning.
Yeah, and more stable than they do in service industry.
And in the service industry now, it's not a person has a good service industry job. They have multiple part-time jobs.
It's also interesting, too, when you think about it, one of the indications of a healthy country and a healthy economy is a strong middle class. And that's exactly what they're going after to destroy, because it's easier when people are desperate to bring in a tyrant.
Yeah.
And that's where we're headed.
If you study Russian history leading up to the Soviet Revolution, Russia didn't have a middle class, very small. They had the aristocracy and they had serfs. And unless you have a middle class, you don't have stability, and you're headed to revolution. You're like you said, it's very easy to bring in a tyrant. Of course, the Russians already had a tyrant called the Tsar. But I wanted to comment on this tax business. I read an article that said they were going to tax by race.
Ooh.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Uh-huh. That white people would be paying more taxes and that would help black people achieve more wealth.
Equity.
Well, whatever they called it. Yeah. I don't know how that's going to happen, but that's going to cause a revolution.
That's unconstitutional also, is it not?
Yes,
the tax on unrealized gains is also unconstitutional. But is anybody reading the Constitution these days?
And it takes years to get that through the court system.
You know, and it's, I hate to link everything to a leftist, Marxist agenda. But if you look at this stuff, it's hard not to see it. For example, private ownership. That is one of the things that Marxists were against, because they wanted everybody to be equal. Everybody's supposed to have an equal amount of wealth or whatever. And what really built the middle class in this country was home ownership. People being able to buy their own home instead of getting out of the rent business. But what's been happening, the interest rates are so high, the cost of construction has raised the price. It's very difficult for younger people to get into the housing market. And I think that some of these Marxists will be very happy if they make permanent renters out of them, that they never have their own property.
Well, the
just build apartments.
The corporations are buying up, like BlackRock, and so forth. They're buying up homes. When you see those ads on TV about sell your house to open house, they'll pay you cash. You don't have to worry about selling your house in order if you want to move right away. They're buying up those houses and turning everybody into renters. But when he says the interest rates are so high, I saw that interest rate was 7.1. I remember Jimmy Carter when they were 13%.
Yes.
18%.
By the way, we financed a building in Cambridge, Massachusetts on 3.5 points over prime, and prime went to 18. And so how do you run a company? I mean, everybody had to count the number of pencils that they had at their desk, and you really need to use that eraser. And
I just want to mention
21,
real quick.
21 and a half.
I want to mention real quick. There was a study a number of years ago done by a South American where they were looking for the common threads of first world countries. And the common thread that they found was private property ownership.
Right.
Because when people took pride in what they owned, when they owned it, they took pride in it, and they passed it down. And you had generational accumulation of wealth.
Yeah, which you're not going to have when you have just renters. But that's what the market, of course, they want you dependent on the government.
Yes.
They don't want you to be independent, have your own wealth. They want you to be dependent on the government. That's Marxism.
They also had families teaching their children how to take care of the property, which now the only thing that kids learn to do is how to go out and play basketball or how to play video games. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to take a quick diversion into the land of, well, Never Never Land, I guess is what we want to say.
You guys have been way too serious. These are very serious topics you've been talking about, and I'm here to give the Fanny Gate update. Good old Fanny down in Fulton County, Georgia. She's the topic of several investigations in Congress. She's being sued. She's just got a lot going on, and she's running for re-election, and she has an opponent. And the first debate with her opponent happened just recently, and she didn't show up. So they had an empty podium for her, and he was debating the empty podium.
And he was probably getting better answers from that empty podium than he would have from her.
Well, yeah, but she was off. I think she was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I figured she was on a vacation somewhere.
Well, and she was also hosting a serve-yourself affair, whatever that is.
I understand she's pretty good at affairs.
Is that, zing.
Now, is that serve yourself a warrant for arrest or what?
Oh, no, I don't think so. The other thing I wanted to do is comment on the Trump trial there in Manhattan. Does everybody remember Harvey Weinstein?
Yes.
The Me Too victim, and he was convicted of rape. Well, the New York Appeals Court just threw out his rape conviction. Why? Because at trial, they introduced evidence of other sexual stuff he had done that had no relevance to the charge at hand. And the judge in Trump's trial is going to make the same mistake, because he's already told them that they can read the transcript of the, you can grab them by the as part of the trial for paying hush money, so-called hush money, to Stormy Weather. And that's going to fail. That case is going to fail on that same grounds. He's not paying any attention to that.
Well, is it possible that the appeals court is as political as his court?
All of the New York courts are.
Well, then how did Harvey Weinstein's get thrown out? Who threw it out?
Well, Harvey Weinstein has the advantage of not being called Trump.
Well, that's true. But who threw it out?
The appeals court.
So if Trump goes to the appeals court, is it likely they will throw it out or not?
I don't know if they'll throw out the whole case, because his contains so many issues. But if you read Jonathan Turley, every day he has a new article on how that case is exploding. I mean, they put their first witness on the stand, and it was David Pecker.
Pecker, yes.
Yes, we mentioned him last time. And he talked about how many, that it was the magazine that was looking to catch and kill. They would get notice from somewhere that these stars, these celebrities, had people hunting them. And he said he did some of these quashing the stories. He did like 30 for Schwarzenegger. And he named two other celebrities. I don't remember who they were. But he said, yeah, we do it all the time.
And how is this any different from what happened with the Hunter Biden laptop, other than the fact that the government did the Hunter Biden laptop? I mean, it's squelching a story. And I would say that the Hunter Biden laptop story had more impact on the 2020 election, the spiking of that story, than Stormy Daniels ever did in 2016.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree. But, you know, it wasn't just the government. The media, the major media, was complicit.
Well, Twitter threw the New York Post off Twitter because they were talking about it. and it was very hard.
But if you got your news from New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, they didn't talk about it.
Or they talked about the 51 intelligence agents that lied.
Yeah.
Because it has come out that when the intelligence agents signed that paper, they already knew that it wasn't Russian disinformation, that it was real.
Oh, and by the way, the New York judge has allowed President Trump to go to his son's graduation.
Yes.
I guess if he could shut down the trial for the juror's dental Dennis. Appointment, it would be hard to justify not letting Trump go to his son's graduation.
Well, I think
how magnanimous of him.
Well, I think that was about they realized the reaction that they would get if they didn't allow that. Because there, I suspect, maybe I'm wrong, but I suspect there are some angry voters in America with what's going on with our justice system right now, not only with President Trump, but you've got murderers running around in New York City, and they're wasting their time on this.
Oh, and that reminds me, Judge Cannon, who's overseeing the trial, the Mar-a-Lago trial,
mm-hmm.
did you read that she released the unredacted search warrant?
Yes.
And it looks like Trump's calling it a setup. Other people are calling it a setup because when he left the White House, there were boxes of documents GCA.
Yeah, GCA.
Yeah, the GCA, GSA.
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 So.
They packed
we'll get
them.
It right. They had packed them, and they were sitting there, and they called Trump and said, come get these. And those were where the documents with classified markings came out of those boxes. Well, there was a pallet of boxes. That's a lot of boxes. Go through and look at each page, and they said, here, come get them. And, of course, there's the idea that they were actually looking for a document that came from Obama that had to do with some kind of Obama in North Korea, and that they were actually looking for that. I don't know how much weight to put on that. I have so little regard for Obama, it wouldn't surprise me if he had his thumb stuck in this, too.
Well, I think wasn't he the one that authorized or was they think was behind getting into monitoring Trump's phone calls and so on at Trump Towers?
Well, that's what I think they're trying to hide.
After he announced that he was running, they started tapping his phone. And what's really, really discouraging is that the judicial system, which maybe I was just naive. I used to think that in this country that cases were decided on facts and information and truth
law.
and that the judge was going to be fair, and it's turning out so obvious on these cases that Trump's in. This one he's in now, the what's his name, Macron. His daughter's getting all this money as a Democrat
mm-hmm.
fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a case just announced yesterday, and this was by the Fourth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals that held heard a case. The case originated in North Carolina and Virginia. And what it was about was that both of those states decided that they did not want to fund transgender treatment and transgender surgeries.
For minors.
They did not believe that that was their responsibility, and they didn't want to expend the funds. So they were making they made decisions based on how they wanted to allocate funds. Okay. Gets appealed. And it goes to the Fourth Circuit. They announce that they overturned that. They are now making North Carolina and Virginia pay for treatment of transgender surgeries and transgender other kind of treatments, you know, the hormone treatment, all that stuff. And it's coming out of in North Carolina, it's coming out of the state employees' health care plan.
Mm.
Okay, so it's something that the legislature controls directly, and the judges at the U.S. Circuit 8 of the judges who voted to make the states pay for this surgery, 8 of them were all Democrats. 6 of them that voted against making Virginia and North Carolina pay for transgender surgeries and treatments were all Republicans. So there you go again. It's the political persuasion of the judges that's determining the outcome of these cases. That is not a judicial system that we can have any confidence in.
Mm-mm. Well, the other part...
And the judicial system, they need to be reformed.
The other part of that, Alan, is that a transgender patient is a patient for life, because their body is constantly trying to go back to where they started. So they're on hormones and expensive drugs for their whole life. And the state gets stuck picking up the tab. Now, what's the difference between that and a woman who's addicted to plastic surgery? Let's say you're retired from the state and you're 65 years old and you want to look 20, and you go have plastic surgery every 6 months to undo what aging has done. What's the difference?
Well, first of all, you know the state doesn't pay for that, right?
That's exactly that's my point.
We pay for that. And that's getting crazy.
You know, and the other thing is this gets involved is where really the judge's decision is forcing the expenditure of funds at the state level. I didn't think the courts could do that. It's like the famous Leandro case, where the courts came out and said, you must spend more money on certain schools because they were underperforming. So the courts were dictating to the General Assembly how they spent money. And this is what they're doing in this case.
Wow.
That's sort of like somebody saying, well, you've got to subsidize these car dealerships because they do poor performance in their repair work.
Right.
So you have to keep subsidizing them.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we're going to go a different direction, I think. You have CCTA wake-up call. Thank you.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Now, I'm going to go to Mary. You have a topic you wanted to go to.
I want to talk a little bit about sanctuary cities, or in this case, sanctuary counties in North Carolina. Because on Tuesday, the State Senate's Judiciary Committee approved a bill that will require North Carolina police departments and sheriff's offices to cooperate with ICE agents when they're trying to take custody of a criminal illegal alien. Now, Governor Cooper is expected to veto this, but theoretically, the House and the Senate in the state have enough of a majority to override that veto. And we have a number of sanctuary jurisdictions, counties, and that would end that. And one of the comments that was made in the article was that Wake County is one of the most dangerous sanctuary jurisdictions in the country. So that's not good news, and we need to end that. So
the good news is this will hopefully help end it.
Yes. And again, I don't know what it would take to deport all illegals. I think it's a great idea. But at least let's get the criminals out.
And we also don't know what it would take to actually get some of the sheriffs to do their job. I mean,
now they're going to face consequences if they don't.
Well, you enumerated some of the counties when we were off the air. Let's see. We got Raleigh, which is in Wake. We got Durham.
We've got Buncombe County, Durham County, Forsyth County, Mecklenburg County, Orange County, and Wake County. So those are essentially North Carolina's liberal counties.
Very good. Now, where are we going to go from here? I think we wanted to...
Well, we wanted to talk about news sources, about where we get our news. And as a blogger at Right Wing Granny, I do a lot of research. I read a lot of news. I watch a lot of news. In terms of watching news on TV, One America News and Newsmax. And One America News, the powers that be in our government, the censorship powers that be, have been trying to squelch that for a while. They've kicked it off a couple of cable networks, and they've sued it on various occasions. But you can still get it on Cloud TV, or you can still get a direct subscription to One America News. Other than that, I like Lucianne.com. That's an aggregate site, a lot of different articles, different sources. The Liberty Daily, American Thinker, Powerline Blog, Doug Ross,
yep,
Breitbart, and you had a few you were going to add.
Yeah, I get up in the morning and I go to Gateway Pundit, and it changes through the day. So
yes,
I go back and check it several times through the day. Gateway Pundit, American Thinker.
Daily Signal is good.
Laredon's Links, which you mentioned as
Doug Ross.
Ross. And Citizens Free Press.
Mm. You know, there's a site out there, Substack.com, that I think sponsors or at least has an avenue for a number of people, whether it's, what was it, Robert Duchemin and Don Serber. I'm not sure exactly how you look them up individually, because you can also sign up for their emails.
And John Droz. They have a lot of varied people on there. Some of the people are free. Some of them require you join their thing for a couple of dollars a month.
You know, folks, right now, I just want to just take a minute to aim you to a site called YouTube. You folks know YouTube. Go out and look for the movie called Screams Before Silence. Screams Before Silence. Now, you're going to have to affirm that you're over 18 to see this. And it is a movie about a retrospective on October 7th and some of the survivors of that movie. It's not going to be awful graphic or whatever else, but it's going to be a very, very realistic look at the effects on some of the people in some of the areas. Screams Before Silence on YouTube.
And the survivors tell their story. They tell how they survived. And one or two of them were taken prisoner and later released, and they tell about their experiences as prisoners. I will be very honest. I am not optimistic, no matter what the treaty deal is, that a lot of the people taken prisoner are still alive. I'm very pessimistic about that. I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to be totally wrong. But I think the humanitarian aspect of Hamas has been shown, and I'm not impressed by it. I'll just leave that there.
Well, you know, that movie you're talking about, that should be mandatory in each college campus in the country.
They're showing...
They ought to be given some realistic, accurate view of what happened. Because a lot of these people that they interview on these... Yeah. I think you want to talk about this.
On UCLA, where the demonstrations are, they have put up a huge screen, and they're showing the video, the raw footage of October 7th to the protesters.
And let me add, some of the footage that they're showing were footages taken by the insurgents, by the Hamas insurgents. Yeah. So this is not going to be a pretty picture.
No, but they handled it very tactfully. Since you brought it up, Alan, let's talk a little bit about some of those protests.
Yeah, just before you go into that, Mary, I'd just like to follow up your list of items that people can find information. I find it, one source that I really enjoy is the Epoch Times.
Yes.
The Epoch Times, I like reading newspapers. I don't like to be on my tablet all the time. Mm-hmm. The Epoch Times, you have to subscribe to it, and it's not cheap. I don't know exactly what it is. But you get, I think it's a weekly or biweekly newspaper. It's delivered. And then in addition to that, as part of your subscription, you get a daily, and sometimes several times a day, little summaries of important information. So you get both. So if you like a printed version, and it's I think it's one of the best.
Yeah, we have a digital subscription.
Yeah,
well, it's pronounced Epoch, but it's spelled E-P-O-C-H for those of you that may be wanting to look for it.
Yes. Yeah,
well, that's how I pronounce Epoch. That's how I spell Epoch, E-P-O-C-H. Not epoch.
Now, yeah. Alan,
you were going to add
another thing. I think in this quote, $95 billion aid.
Yeah, I was going to follow up about our conversation about what's going on with Hamas and so on. Was it last week that they passed that, or the week before they passed that $95 billion foreign aid package? They couldn't give any money for our border, but they $95 billion of money we don't have, of course. And my understanding is that $9 billion of that money is going to Hamas with the proviso. Okay, this is where it gets to be really a comedy. The proviso that is only going to be spent for certain humanitarian efforts. This is so ridiculous. It is like the money that we gave to Iran for these similar kind of purposes. Where does it wind up? Building tunnels, buying missiles. This is where they got the money from. I don't think anybody... Maybe Iran gave money to Hamas to buy missiles and so on. I'm pretty sure we didn't, or other Western countries didn't. So there we have $9 billion and that Hamas is going to use to continue to fight against Israel.
You know, question. So now President Biden has also forgiven $150,000, $200,000 college loans for kids. So by forgiving those loans, that really means that the kids can now spend that $200,000 or $150,000 on what? On anything else. Because they've been, quote, given $200,000 to cover all of their obligations. So now you've freed up their real $200,000 to do whatever the heck they want to do.
I would like to add to that. I saw an article recently which gave me a slightly different perspective on that. Now, I don't want all those student loans forgiven. I need to say that up front. However, there needs to be a system that if a student takes out $70,000 worth of loans and after 15 years has paid $70,000 and maybe a little bit of interest.
A little bit.
Let me finish. Paid $70,000, maybe paid some interest on, say, $5,000 or $10,000 interest. At that point, I'm willing to forgive the loan because I think the kid has paid off the loan.
Yeah, but this thing about using the term forgiveness, Mary, is there is no forgiveness. it just gets passed on to other people.
It gets passed on to other people.
So we are paying for somebody else's educational
I know, but what
expenses.
I'm saying is if the interest rates on this are such...
We're the other people.
They're about 8%. Student loans.
Okay, but are you willing to say that, say, after 15 years, if the student has paid off 90% of the principal, and if you add the interest in there, they've paid more than the principal.
Why isn't the university required to give up half of the loan on failed students? When they have a failed student who doesn't complete the course and doesn't earn any money, why should we pay for that failed student?
After this radio show, I'm going to call my banker that's got my mortgage and see if they'll accept 90%.
Well, the truth of the matter is these things are legal agreements that these people enter into.
It.
Okay?
They're contracts.
And you, it's a contract. And if you
the government
sign a
has
contract,
no business.
You are required to complete that contract. Once you start down the road of giving people outs of contracts, that undermines our entire capitalistic free enterprise system.
And what really messed this up is when the federal government got into the loan business for these schools.
That's right.
It used to be bankers, private loans, and that was on purpose.
And they were careful.
So this crap could be set up.
And they were careful about who they gave the loans to. If you were going to get an art psychology degree in a grade Z college, chances are you might have a problem getting a loan.
And the schools were competitive and didn't try to increase their fees.
Yeah.
20% a year.
Under no case do I want a pipe fitter, welder, millwright paying for someone to go to school.
Yes.
I agree.
Folks, I think that's about it. And we've beaten a number of topics to death. And thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a wonderful week.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.